Today is the Feast of St. John the Apostle. And the epistle for the Feast of St. John is taken from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiasticus, chapter 15. He that feareth God will do good, and he that possesseth justice shall lay hold on her, and she will meet him as an honorable mother. With the bread of life and understanding she will feed him, and give him the water of wholesome wisdom to drink. And she shall be made strong in him, and he shall not be moved. And she shall hold him fast, and he shall not be confounded. And she shall exalt him among his neighbors, and in the midst of the church she shall open his mouth, and shall fill him with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, and shall clothe him with a robe of glory. The Lord our God shall heap upon him a treasure of joy and gladness, and shall cause him to inherit an everlasting name. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 21. At that time, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter, turning about, saw that disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, "Lord, who is he that shall betray thee?" Him, therefore, when Peter had seen, he saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus said to him, "So I will have him to remain till I come. What is it to thee? Follow thou me." This saying, therefore, went abroad among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. And Jesus did not say to him, "He should not die," but, "So I will have him to remain till I come. What is it to thee?" This is that disciple who giveth testimony of these things, and hath written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Peter, turning about, saw that disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also leaned on his breast at supper. These words are taken from the Gospel for today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Something that many people do not know, or something that perhaps they may not realize, is that devotion to the Sacred Heart did not begin in the late 17th century. It is true that St. Margaret Mary, the Apostle of the Sacred Heart, was the one whom God chose to spread the devotion as we know it today. But the origins of the devotion date back to the time of our Lord. St. John the Apostle, we could say, was the first person to practice a certain devotion to the Sacred Heart. He was specially permitted by our Lord to hear the beatings of the Sacred Heart at the Last Supper. For he was the disciple mentioned in the Gospel today, who leaned on our Lord's breast at supper. And it was something he never forgot. Throughout his life, St. John never ceased preaching the love of Christ for man, and encouraging the faithful to strive to grow in the love of God and in love for neighbor, for God's sake. He wrote of this charity in his epistles, and he spoke of it in many of his sermons. In fact, according to a certain tradition, toward the end of his life, St. John was unable to walk. Furthermore, it was difficult for him to give long discourses to the people. But in spite of this, he wanted to address at least a few words to them from time to time. And so each week, he would ask a few of his disciples to carry him on a stretcher into the church. And there, St. John would lean up on one elbow, and he would say these five words: "Little children, love one another." Then he would lie back down, and his disciples would carry him out of the church. Week in and week out, their routine was the same. Every week it was the same five-word sermon. Little children love one another. Well, at length, as you can imagine, some of the people grew tired of hearing the same thing repeated over and over again. And so one day, one of St. John's disciples gathered up enough courage to say something to St. John about it. "Master," the disciple said, "why do you always say the same thing? Little children love one another." It is as though that disciple were saying, is there nothing else? Is there no other advice? No other words of encouragement that you could give us? St. John looked at that man with fatherly kindness, and he gave him an answer that was short, simple, and to the point. "I tell you to love one another," he said, "because this is the commandment of the Lord, and if it is observed, then it is enough." The first great revelation, my dear friends, of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary occurred 347 years ago this very day, December 27th, 1673. And you know, I don't think that it's a mere coincidence that our Lord chose the feast of St. John the Apostle, the first disciple of the Sacred Heart, to begin what we have known to us today as the Great Revelations of the Sacred Heart to St. Margaret Mary. And it was on that December 27th that our Divine Savior spoke these words to St. Margaret Mary. "My divine heart," he said, "is so inflamed with love for men that being unable any longer to contain within itself the flames of its burning charity, it must needs spread them abroad." That is how much the Son of God loves mankind. He loves us so much that his heart cannot contain its love, but seeks to spread it abroad. That is, to enkindle in our hearts that same charity for mankind. This was the charity learned by St. John from Christ himself. And it is the same virtue spoken of by our divine Redeemer at the Last Supper. "A new commandment I give unto you," our Lord said, "that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." And thus, since the dawn of Christianity, the undying characteristic of all those who would follow Christ has been charity for one's neighbor. In fact, according to certain Catholic authors, the early Christians took our Lord's precept of charity so seriously that it is said that one could actually identify a Christian by the charitable way in which he treated his neighbor, whether friend or enemy. It is even said by some that in times of persecution, the Roman authorities would insult those whom they believed to be Christians and then wait to see how they would respond to the insults. If the Christians did not retaliate with violent words or anger, they would be arrested and taken in for further interrogation. These early Christians who in the end died for the sake of Christ. They were martyrs not only for the faith, but they were, in a certain sense, martyrs for the virtue of charity. For they would respond to the insults of these pagans with meekness and kindness. And for that they were arrested and in the end put to death for the sake of Christ. Would that Catholic people today had such heroic charity. Would that they had such a great love for God and for neighbor. That they would die rather than offend charity. Over the centuries, my dear friends, fraternal charity has indeed grown cold. This is especially true of people in the world, but unfortunately, it is even true of some Catholics, to a certain extent. In our world, as you very well know, there exists a manifest lack of charity for God and a lack of charity for neighbor. In the past couple months alone, has not the number of murders and violence drastically increased? How many people today, especially the young, how many have little or no respect for their fellow man? How many lack even common courtesy? Gossip, slander, calumny, all these are readily spread about, and they are spread in triumph. Anger, hatred, and revenge seem to have replaced charity, compassion, and forgiveness as virtues, and seem to have become the order of the day. The charity of men has indeed grown cold. And it is true that there has always been a certain lack of charity in the world. But as the world turns further away from God, this lack of charity will reach an unprecedented degree. And towards the end of the world, it will even include those of the same household and family. Our divine Savior foretold this when he said, "And the brother shall betray his brother unto death, and the father his son, and children shall rise up against the parents, and shall work their death." That is how much of a lack of charity there will be in the world. And how this must hurt our divine Savior. How seeing the world destitute of love for God and of neighbor must absolutely break his sacred heart. Witnessing today's lack of charity, let us take a stand. And let us do our part, trying to stem the tide. Let us strive to enkindle the flames of the Sacred Heart's burning charity in our own hearts, and then spread them abroad to our fellow man and to our children by our good example. Let us do this by being ever ready to forgive those who have offended us, or to make excuses for them. Let us be imitators of the Sacred Heart by being careful not to give way to harshness, criticism, and impatience, or any sort of a lack of charity with our neighbor. Instead, we must spare no effort to be understanding, to be patient, to be meek, to all. Moreover, let us make it a point to set that good example for others by refusing to take part in gossip. You know, it can be so easy to be pulled into gossip. Many times it happens even without us realizing it. Let us then be ever on our guard and always ready to make an excuse for the person being spoken ill of or to change the topic of the conversation. Let us, when we are tempted to any sin against charity, whether in thought, word, or deed, let us beseech our Lord to help us with little invocations or aspirations. Invocations such as, O Sacred Heart of Jesus, help me to be charitable. Or aspirations, O Sacred Heart, increase in my heart the fire of charity. If there is one thing, my dear friends, that Catholics have proven down through the centuries, it is that they are resilient and unbreakable when, with confidence in God, they are united in the bonds of true charity. These troublous days in which we live then, these days of uncertainty, these are days that call for such unity of heart and unity of mind among Catholics. We can make such a difference in these uncharitable days, and we can spread the love of the Sacred Heart by our acts of charity. Saint John the Apostle, he lived at a time that was not so different from our own. Heresy attacked the faith in his days, and persecution afflicted the church. He even saw, by way of a special revelation, the events that would precede the end of the world. And yet, the only advice he gave his people, his only words of preparation for what was to come, was the exhortation, "Little children, love one another." May we too heed these words of Saint John and strive to practice this virtue which is so dear to the Sacred Heart. Because this, as the beloved disciple said, this is the commandment of the Lord, and if it is observed, then it is enough. It is enough to enkindle the fire of the Sacred Heart in the hearts of men today. And it is enough to help us in that most important work, the work of saving our souls. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.